You're listening to Your Financial Choices on WDIY Allentown. Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics, and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA, SIPC. To ensure compliance with requirements imposed by the IRS, we inform you that any U.S. federal tax advice contained in this communication is not intended to or to be used for the purpose of avoiding penalties under the Internal Revenue Code or promoting, marketing, or recommending to another party any transaction or matter addressed herein. This show is for educational purposes only. For advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I'm a CPA and a certified financial planner on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com. And you can listen online each and every week at wdiy.org. That's wdiy.org. And as I mentioned last week, a great place to go on there to get prior shows. You can listen to prior shows. In fact, I was just talking to someone today who had told me they had gone on and listened to a show from November. So I appreciate folks taking the time to listen, even when they don't have a chance to on Wednesday night. So if you enjoy the show, like the show, please mention to your friends when they're talking about their financial dilemmas that they can listen to some ideas for financial choices on WDIY.org. Welcome to the show. Today is March 6, 2013. The markets were mixed today. The Dow closing up at 14,296. The NASDAQ down just slightly at 3,222. And the S&P closed up at 1541. All that worry about the markets going down, I keep remembering back when it was like 11,000 something. Oh, it was such a panic. Anyway, happy to have you all here. Last week I took your tax questions and the phone lines went crazy. That's my favorite thing. Love when that happens. Andrea doesn't love when it happens, but I love when it happens. So if you want to call in with tax questions tonight, you can, and you're going to get, you know, two for the price of one, because I have with me this evening my guest, Rod Young, who is also a CPA and a certified financial planner. And Rod and I are going to talk in between our phone calls. What we are going to talk about are employer benefits on your income taxes and your financial future. What is the impact on employer benefits and on your income taxes and financial future? We are live. Andrea is with us, and she will answer your calls. At least I hope so, because I see them running over to her phone bank. So hopefully the machine is working. Andrea will answer your calls, take down your information, and ask you to mute your radio so you can hear us without the delay and we can talk without confusion. We do discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments. And while I typically have a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic. And I will do my best to answer those questions. The number to call in this evening is 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810. Jeff, are we good over there?
We're good.
Okay. Again, my guest this evening is Rod Young. He's a frequent host here on Your Financial Choices. He is a CPA and a certified financial planner, financial advisor, and a principal at Valley National Financial Advisors. Rod, for folks who haven't had the pleasure of hearing you on the show in the past, can you tell the audience a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Hi, Lori, and hi, everyone. I'm glad to be here tonight, and it's been a while since I've been on as a guest.
Yeah.
This actually feels kind of good.
I know, it's such a treat.
So
takes off the pressure.
Yeah, exactly. But no, it's great to be here. And as Lori said, I am a CPA and a certified financial planner, and I've been providing financial planning and income tax and, you know, investment advice since 1987. So you can do the math on that one. And so, you know, Lori and I are contemporaries.
He always throws me under the bus with him.
So, you know, to call in tonight, because you've got 50 plus years of experience. So we're looking forward to helping you tonight. I've been with Lori at Valley National for about 4.5 years. And, you know, I work a lot with employee benefits and executive benefit programs, and do a lot of income tax work for people and advise them, you know, regarding how they can help themselves tax-wise by taking advantage of their benefit program. So I think it's a great topic, given the time of year that it is, and given you know, what a big impact those benefit programs can have.
And it certainly adds an extra element of knowledge when you prepare tax returns for people as well. I mean, we just know the impact of a lot of these different kinds of things, whether it's employer benefits or, you know, sales on transactions or business decisions, you know. So it adds a nice extra element. So, folks, if you have questions this evening, and it doesn't have to be about employer and benefits necessarily. It could be about income taxes. We know everyone's trying to get their tax returns done. That's one of the benefits of listening to the show, to try to help keep you going and getting those questions answered and helping you move forward. So the phone number is 610-758-8810. Last week, I think we had 7 calls in the first half hour. So we're looking forward to getting a few calls this evening. Again, if you're comfortable talking on air, we love live calls. If you're not comfortable talking on air, Andrea will write down the question and bring that into us. So in the meantime, tonight, Rod, I thought, since you are so familiar with working with executives and executive benefits in particular, that we might touch on employer benefits, which apply to not just executives.
Sure.
Employer benefits apply to almost all of us who, you know, work, I hope. And we see different employer benefits that various companies in the area provide. So I thought we could talk about the impact of those benefits and how they may or may not have, you know, an impact on the employee's financial situation or their financial future, probably more than we realize, and people need to be aware of that. So some of the benefits that we hope to touch on tonight would include some of the most basic to maybe some of the less frequently seen benefits. So let's first start with some of the most common benefits, such as?
Maybe retirement plans.
Okay.
And yeah, I think most employers out there today in some way, shape, or form offer some type of retirement plan. And those can range, everything from a completely employer-funded pension plan. Another term for those might be defined benefit plan. We can talk a little bit more about what that means. Mm-hmm. To your more common 401k profit sharing type plan, where both employer and employee money can go into, you know, into that type of retirement plan.
Okay, and since I think the employer-employee type of plan is probably the more common now, what we used to see were what you first said, which was defined contribution plan. Defined benefit plans. In the old days, that's what it was. Like probably when we were youngsters first starting or doing tax returns, Rod, it was probably more defined benefit plans. So let's talk briefly about those, okay, what that is, and who those really apply to, and how that might impact, you know, their financial situation.
Sure. For the defined benefit plans, probably for our listeners out there that are maybe, you know, age 45 or older, they, you know, many of them may still have a defined benefit plan. Those are plans that were put in place, and then, you know, beginning most likely in the 1970s into the early 80s, where the employer's funding all of that, and by the title of that type of plan, defined benefit, the amount of benefit you get out of that plan is defined by a formula that's based on your years of service and your compensation. And teachers have those types of plans, and then many larger employers at some time in their past offered those types of plans. There has been a big shift, and you and I have talked about this, I think, on the air and in past shows. There's been a big shift over the past 15 years from those defined benefit type plans to the defined contribution plans, where the cost of funding for retirement has been shifted off of the employer and more on to the employee. But we still do work with quite a few people, many people who are in these defined benefit type pension plans. And there's some very important things to understand regarding those types of plans.
Okay, and I want to talk more about some of the aspects of those defined benefit plans and how even some of those have kind of changed a little bit. Some employers have tried to get away from them and have converted some of those plans to something called cash balance plans.
Absolutely.
So we'll talk a little bit more about that after we come back from our next break, which we're going to come up on right now. I haven't heard the phones ring yet. So the phone number is 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810. If you have any questions, tax questions about employer benefits, what have you, give us a call. Back in a sec.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Hey, it's us, Click and Clack from Car Talk. Is your car so environmentally incorrect that it creates its own ecosystem?
Donate it through the Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program.
This station gets the proceeds and you get a tax break.
To find out more, call 866-789-8627.
Car Talk airs Friday night at 6 p.m. and Saturday at 10 a.m. For more information, visit our website at wdiy.org.
And we are back, and I have with me this evening my guest, co-host, I should say, Rod Young, who's a CPA and a certified financial planner, financial advisor at Valley National Financial Advisors. And we are talking about the impact of employer benefits on income taxes and on your financial situation. And so what we're going to start with during the beginning part of the show is kind of talking about the various kinds of employer benefits that may impact you. And then as we kind of round up the show, we'll talk about the long-term impacts of that as well. So we were just talking before the break about different kinds of retirement plans, because that is one of the biggest benefits I think that people tend to think about when we talk about employer benefits. But we are, as we go through the show, going to talk about some of the, you know, less frequent employer benefits that you hear about. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810, and that can be, you know, questions about income tax or, you know, whatever income tax question you might have at this time of year. So, Rod, we were just talking about defined benefit plans, and how we have seen a lot of companies kind of evolve or, you know, away from those, drift away from those, and become more in the employee-employer kind of sharing in saving for retirement. But let's wrap up about defined benefit plans first. The description of that a little bit, you said it's based on some, you know, formula when you go to retire, years of service, your compensation, and there's a calculation of here's what you're going to get. And when we think of defined benefit, we think of a pension. We might think of a monthly paycheck.
Correct.
Sometimes, and we see a lot of that with teachers, yep, and governmental workers and things like that, and corporations like Air Products.
Yeah,
and
larger companies, absolutely.
You know, so we have seen some changes even in defined benefit plan options. So can you talk for a minute about what we mean by that?
Sure. Many of these defined benefit pension plans offer a variety of, to me, the key issue with the defined benefit plan as a participant in the plan is when you retire, understanding what your distribution options are, and making sure that you talk to someone who really understands the plan very, very well. Many of the plans offer lump sum distributions, and that is it, you know, takes a look at the amount of the benefit that you've accumulated, looks at your age, looks at what the current discount rates are, and comes up with with an actuarial lump sum value that can get paid out to you in one lump sum, and if you want to, can be rolled over into an IRA, and you don't have to pay any tax on it then until you start taking it out of the IRA. So that's a big decision to suddenly decide you don't want a monthly payment from the pension for the rest of your life, that you're going to shift some that responsibility onto yourself and take a lump sum. And I would never recommend that anybody make that decision on their own without talking to somebody who really understands the intricacies of that particular plan.
Mm-hmm.
If a plan does not offer a lump sum option, and they're not they're not required to, and they offer a variety of monthly annuity options. And so the basic benefit is stated in terms of what's referred to as a single life annuity. So that is paid over the lifetime of the employee, the retiring employee. If the employee is married, there are going to be some what are referred to as joint and survivor annuity options that can be elected out of the plan. They're commonly stated in percentage terms: 50% joint and survivor, 75% joint and survivor, 100% joint and survivor. And what that means is a lower amount of benefit monthly payment while the employee is still alive. But if the employee dies before their spouse does, a percentage of that benefit then continues to get paid to the spouse for the rest of the spouse's life. So very, very, you're making, 30, 40 year decisions here when you're making this. And it's a decision that can't be reversed. Once you've made it,
you're stuck with
it. There's no going back. So
people have to be really careful when they see that larger number, which we would expect under the single life annuity option, if they have a survivor that is going to be relying on their means, because while it looks attractive, if they keeled over the next day, that option is gone. The pension's gone. It's just you've elected single life. You got your $2,000, even if you're present value was worth $200,000, it's done. So you've got to be very, very careful. I want to go back, though, for a second, Rod, because when someone's trying to make, so there's a lot of big decisions here.
Yes.
But
yes,
if someone has that lump sum option versus taking that monthly amount, I think that's even a harder decision to see or to make, because obviously you go to 33 flavors ice cream, and the more flavors, the more overwhelming it gets. If someone said, well, no, there's no lump sum option, you just have the single life, the joint survivor, it's almost easier to make that kind of decision. But when you can make
agree.
A decision whether to take a lump sum amount, which, as you said, then you're taking on some of the responsibility, because if I say, don't give me the monthly amount, let me take the lump sum, and let's say it's $500,000, and I'm going to roll it over into an IRA, when you say it's your responsibility, it means now I'm responsible for managing that money, right?
Absolutely.
So you want to make sure you're going to be good with that. But what comes into the decision making of that, you mentioned something about discount rates. There's a lot of factors, like what's the current interest rates, what are the kind of current returns that someone could get. It's almost too hard to explain that kind of a calculation, but how can we emphasize to people that that is something that really needs to be analyzed?
That's a great question. If it's offered, I think it is worth being analyzed. And particularly over the past few years, because of federal monetary policy, interest rates are historically low. Think about all the people who've refinanced their mortgages over the past couple of years to very low fixed rate mortgages. The same kind of thing has happened in the pension world, where you have these very low discount rates. So believe it or not, the lower the interest rate, the higher the lump sum calculation. So a lot of people have looked at these very closely over the past few years, because this low interest rate environment has enhanced these lump sum amounts. And it's this huge, Lori, it's this huge carrot dangling out there in front of you. Wow, you mean I can have it all now? And I have all that flexibility now with it. Maybe because of your overall financial situation, you know that you really don't need the pension income right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've got other assets, other things in place, or maybe you're going to go, after you retire, you're going to work for a few more years at another job, and you don't really need to touch the pension. Roll it over to an IRA, allow it to grow until you need it, and then begin to make some withdrawals over your lifetime. So it gives the lump sum is worthy of being evaluated, I believe, because of the planning flexibility that lump sum gives you. But don't make the decision lightly.
Right. And let me see if I can add this as you're speaking to this, that the other thing that happens is sometimes people think, oh, I'm going to work a little longer to increase my pension because they think they're going to make that much more money and they're going to get that much more in their pension. But they really need to stop and say to themselves, hey, if I have this option today in the interest rate environment of today, maybe I need to say, hey, is it worth more for me to take a lump sum today in these low interest rate environments versus working two more years? I may not, because in two more years, if interest rates go back up, then the lump sum
could very well go down in value. Now, they'll still have the annuity then, but the lump sum could very well go down in value.
Right.
Absolutely.
But the annuity sometimes is set based on those interest rates when they make their election as well, and there may not be a cost of living adjustment.
Yes. Yeah. Usually that single life annuity, that interest rates don't affect that amount, but the interest rates could affect the amount of the what we refer to as a haircut or reduction that you would take for taking one of the joint and survivor annuities.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. All right. We are ready for another break. Folks, if you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
And folks, you are listening to WDIY Allentown, listener-supported community public radio. Lehigh Valley weather, current conditions, 40 degrees under overcast and breezy skies. Tonight, snow likely, lows around 32. Thursday, chance of a rain-snow mix, highs around 40. Friday, rain snow continues, highs around 41, and Saturday and Sunday, the sun returns with high temperatures around 52 degrees. The time now is 6:21 p.m. Now back to your financial choices with our host, Lori Siebert.
Thank you, Jeff. And I have with me this evening Rod Young, CPA, CFP, and financial advisor at Valley National Financial Advisors. We're talking about the impact of employer benefits on your income taxes and on your financial future. And we've been covering defined benefit options and strategies and how complicated it is and the importance of getting good advice when you are faced with those decisions, because there are even things like pension maximization, which we didn't talk about.
Didn't even touch upon it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Rod, though, we still want to talk about things like 401ks. Yeah. And some of the other types of employer benefits called fringe benefits. So let's wrap up defined benefit. Give us a few last comments, and then we'll start talking a little bit about 401ks. Folks, if you have questions, again, the phone number is 610-758-8810. And Rod and I are both CPAs. We're happy to take your questions regarding your income tax as well. So defined benefit, let's wrap that up.
50 years of tax experience here, everyone. give us a call. Real quick, we could spend an entire show very easily just talking about pension plans. The last thing I would throw out on them very quickly is if you are in a defined benefit pension plan and you're retiring early, that's another situation where you want to be very careful and make sure you understand what your options are, because maybe you're not eligible for an immediate pension, but you're eligible for a deferred pension. But maybe there is an offer of an immediate lump sum, and the actuarial calculations on these are very complex, and typically the earlier you retire, those calculations work very much against you, and it can make a lot more sense maybe to just leave that pension alone and with the company until a time in the future when you're ready to take it, rather than taking it early.
That's
okay?
A good point. So the company wouldn't force you to take it out just because you're leaving.
They may not. The plan may very much provide for what's referred to as a deferred benefit. You're vested. You're fully entitled to a benefit at some time in the future. There's nothing that compels you to take it at the time you leave the company. Mm-hmm. So I just would throw that out there to people as well, that's another very important thing to make sure that you're understanding the plan and how it operates very well.
Okay, very good. Phone number 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810. We are live. You can call in with your questions. If you're not comfortable talking on air, you can give your question to Andrea and she'll write it down and bring it into us. Rod, let's another obvious employer benefit we see with most employers, although even recently you see more and more employers maybe offering 401k plans, but maybe not putting money into them. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about 401ks as defined contribution. Let's give us a little definition around that and talk about the implications of 401ks for our folks.
Sure. And most of our listeners out there are probably 401k participants, or they have a spouse that's a 401k participant. And these are the plans that allow you to, you know, take some money from your pay and on a, you know, regular per pay basis, put it right in, you know, right into an account. A retirement account in your name. There's limits on how much you're allowed to put in each year. The limit for somebody who's under age 50 in 2013 is $17,500. There's also the possibility that you may have a choice as to the type of contribution that you're making. It could be a pre-tax contribution, which does help you on your with your taxes now, mm-hmm. or maybe they offer a designated Roth account mm-hmm. inside the 401k. And it still to this day amazes me, Lori, when I meet with someone for the first time and I ask them about their 401k and I ask them, do you know if it offers a Roth account? And many people have no idea if the plan, their 401k plan, offers a Roth account.
I keep giving shout outs to Air Products, because as I understand it, Air Products doesn't offer a Roth 401k feature, and I think all the employees should gather together. It's very simple to add it to a plan. Yeah, I did it for our plan.
Right.
It worked. It's very easy.
And I don't think it adds a lot to the cost of administering, a plan. So,
mm-hmm. go ahead. So there's limits, pre-tax Roth.
Versus Roth, a very, very important decision. And then if you've reached age 50, before 2013 or during 2013, you can add above that $17,500 I mentioned, you're allowed to make what's called a catch-up contribution of up to $5,500.
Right, so it's $23,000 that you can shelter from income tax currently.
Yes.
Rod, we do have a caller. We have a caller on line one. Richard, are you there? Can you hear us? Hi, how are you?
Okay.
Thank you for calling. I'm excited we have someone from Phillipsburg calling in.
Hi, Richard.
Good evening.
How can we help you?
I had a question, and I just thought I'd just use an easily understood amount. It could be $1 million. I'm just thinking $100,000 you have tucked away in a 401k type plan.
Mm-hmm.
You have already retired, but you have not made any withdrawals or distributions on that. I understand at 70 and a half that you have to start taking required distributions from that type of plan. Mm-hmm. If you had $100,000 tucked away, that first year, how much would you take away, and the succeeding years, what percentage-wise, what type of distribution would you make?
That
your first year, you have to take out $3,649.
Okay.
Richard, she cheated. She just calculated that on her phone. I was doing it in my head, and I was going to tell you $3,700.
So. Okay. And the following year, would it be a similar amount?
A little bit similar. What happens? Well, you can tell them there's tables.
Yeah, there's a table, Richard. And if you go to irs.gov,
okay,
and go to IRS publication 590,
okay,
there is a table in there that gives you the factors that you have to divide by to come up with the amount you're referring to, Richard, is known as the required minimum distribution.
Okay.
And so in that example, let's say that you did reach age 70 and a half in 2013. And
your wife wasn't younger, 10 years younger than you.
And your wife wasn't 10 years younger
you have one.
Than you. And your 401k account balance on December 31st, 2012 was $100,000. you would take that $100,000 and divide it by the age 70 and a half factor in your in that table,
which is your life expectancy. The IRS, okay. That's what these tables are, life expectancy tables. And at age 70, they say you have 27.4 years to live.
And then each year, that life expectancy goes down by a little bit. So the second year, I think instead of 27.4, you divide the year-end account balance by 26.5, I believe, and so on. And that's how you determine your required distribution each year, Richard.
So ideally, they want you to have, at the point of being deceased, more or less a zero balance.
In effect, yes, that's correct.
Right. Okay. But it gets stretched out as you get older. You know, it'll be like 3 years left, then 2.7 years, and then 2.5 years, and it gets a little longer. But
now I had one other one, since this is tax time. On a 401 plan, maybe people started it as an IRA and then later on changed over to rolled it over when their employer had the option of a 401. But there's something called basis that some of your contributions, whether or not you have to pay, how you make payment as far as what your tax liability is on those amounts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the basis basis effectively is after tax money that is sitting inside the IRA or the 401k. So maybe at some point in time you made some after-tax contributions to an IRA or for some reason made some after-tax contributions to your 401k. That used to be more common than it is in more recent years. So that
okay.
means each distribution that you take, a portion of it is considered a return of your basis, so you don't pay tax on that portion, and a portion would be considered then the a distribution of the pre-tax money in the plan and subject to tax. And it's the thing we see is it's very hard for people to track their basis, and the custodians of these accounts very often are not tracking basis for you. So it really is your responsibility.
And in New Jersey, it gets very complicated. So good luck with that, Richard.
Okay. And, just as a general question, my career started when the employers were starting to switch over to the instead of the defined benefits plan, it was the other one that's a little more friendly to their budget and pocketbook. And in the beginning, I remember they were giving, to sweeten the pot, to lure people in, they were giving matching funds to these 401k plans.
Right.
But I'm just wondering, these days, just in passing, I don't hear of the situations where employers match the employer's contribution to the same extent that they used to do maybe 10 or 15 years ago. What's your opinion?
Yeah, some of them have cut back, Richard. That's one of the, when they're having to make budget cuts, that's one of the things we see cutting. Sometimes they might have matched, half of your first 6%, and then they might match 1.5% of your first 6%, and then they might not match at all, but it's still giving the employees the ability to do it. But, a lot of employers are still doing the match, but not all of them. But, Richard, I have to take a break, so I hope we helped you tonight.
Thank you very much for answering my questions.
Thank you. Have a great night.
Thanks
for calling. Jeff, sorry, we're going to go to break. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk and traditional music is a crazy quilt of colors and textures. In the tradition traces its many patterns and designs. Music handed down from generation to generation. In the tradition, Wednesday evening at 7 on WDIY FM Lehigh Valley Community Public Radio.
And we are back. the phone, well, sorry. I have too many things I want to say all at once. I didn't know which to. I'm having so much fun with Rod. Rod Young, our guest. Rod is a CPA and a CFP. We are here taking your calls and questions. The phone number is 610-758-8810. It is tax time, and we're happy to help. And we love talking with Richard. If I hadn't gone to break, we could have had Richard on with us as well. It was fun.
It was a great, great call. And yeah. I guess we have a different definition of fun than a lot of people. Yeah,
I think we do. Yeah. It does brighten up my day to come here and do the show, though, and, you know, interact.
No, it's great.
So, anyway, so before our last call, we were talking a little bit about 401ks, and Rod went over the limits and how much money you can put away as an employee, whether you're pre-50 or after 50. We're talking about $17,500 plus an additional $5,500 for catch-up contribution if you're over 50. So you can do about $23,000 if I'm adding mm-hmm. right. Yep. And so one of the things we were talking about at the beginning of the show was employer benefits that could impact your tax life and your financial future. This is a clear example of that, which
perfect.
Is you
yep.
can get some tax deferral and you're building up retirement savings. Sometimes there might be situations, Rod, where we might not encourage people to do that if they had like lots of outstanding debt and things like that. We don't want people having 28% tax or credit card debt or anything like that either.
Absolutely not. Or maybe they have to take a little bit of a hiatus or reduce what they're putting in for a few years when, I don't know, when the kids are in college.
Yes.
or something like that. So, yeah.
We've done it ourselves, Rod and I. So
absolutely.
When you've had to, you know, sometimes the tuition bill comes and it's like, whoops. And you have to look at your summary plan description mm-hmm. document, which will give you some of the guidelines on what your employer provides and what your options are. Some employers will allow you to make lots of adjustments on your 401ks, lots of choices, especially if there's online access. Other employers may say that you can only change your options like quarterly or once a year or something.
Sure.
But nowadays, I think more and more employers are giving people more flexibility. So it's important to keep that in mind.
And you know, the thing I would stress about the 401k is, I mean, and it's such a common plan, everybody has it, but so many people, I think, don't take the time to read that summary plan document that you just mentioned. And mm-hmm. the employers are required to provide it, so simply ask for a copy of the summary plan description. And here's why. The chance is that the 401k is going to become your biggest or your second biggest asset. And so why wouldn't you take the time to read that document and really educate yourself, regarding the plan?
Because that will also tell you if they are doing a matching and what your options are as far as, you know, taking loans out or not. Some people may need to tap that for various reasons. You might want to know if that's going to be available to you. So you want to look at that summary plan description to also find out what happens, you know, should you leave and if your balance is below a certain amount, et cetera. Lots of information in that summary plan description. We have another caller on line one. We have Jamie. Jamie, can you hear us?
Yes. Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes. Hi. How are you?
Good. Good. How are you doing tonight?
Good. How can
Great.
I help you?
Well, I had a simple IRA plan with my business. And I was wondering if you can also contribute to a Roth if you also contribute to the simple, or if you're, I think I understood the IRS rules to be that you, if you can contribute to the simple, you can't contribute in the same year to the Roth.
Not as familiar with simple plans other than you don't want to take any money out within 2 years because there's big penalties with that. But the simple plan also has smaller elective deferrals than a 401k, but here's what happens. The IRS has certain plans that they will throw in the same bucket as IRAs, and then there's other retirement accounts that we talk about that are actually called qualified plans, and that's 401ks, 403bs. And there's actually different rules for qualified plans than what we have for IRAs. A lot of people think it's all the same, but it's not exactly the same. Where someone can have, though, a 401k, Jamie, and may still be able to put money into an IRA if their income is below a certain amount or they have a spouse that's not an active participant. There's all kinds of rules whether you can do two different kinds of plans. As far as simple IRA and IRA, I
think you're correct on it, Jamie. I believe the simple IRA has limitations that are very similar to individual IRA contributions, and thus you can't you cannot do both.
Because it's falling in the same category in the IRS's eyes as other IRAs.
Correct.
So if you're already doing that simple, and the simple has a higher amount than the regular IRAs that you can contribute. Are you following me on that? Like a 401k,
yeah.
We said you could do 17.5. A regular IRA, you can do, is it $5,000 or $5,500 this year?
Yeah, $5,500 worth and plus $1,000 okay. For the catch-up.
But
yes.
A simple IRA has actually higher amounts that you can put in.
Yeah, that's what I was contributing to that pretty high for a while, but I wanted to try and work in a Roth now and... I understand what you're saying, and that's what I kind of saw from the IRS publication.
Right, right.
Now my wife has a 401k with Sodexo. Would she be able to do a Roth, assuming she made the income level?
Yes, absolutely.
So if you together, married filing joint, are within the range or below the phase out range, and don't give me any numbers, but married filing joint to be able to do a Roth IRA contribution, if it's under 173,000 page one income, then she could do the Roth contribution.
I see. So yeah, so it goes by joint income and it's on that table.
Right.
Okay.
Now if you are you self-employed, did you say?
Yes, I am.
You're self-employed. Do you know that you don't have to have a simple? You could move into a different kind of plan. You could have a solo 401k plan if you wanted, and then you could put in probably a Roth feature with that.
Ah, that's good. That's good information. I didn't know that. I used to have a SEP years ago, and then I went to the simple because I was setting it up for my employee at the time, and it gave me more flexibility.
Right.
On the amount, but I didn't know about like a solo 401k plan.
Correct, yeah.
So do you don't have any employees any longer?
No, I still do.
Oh, you still do. So
well, then it might not be as attractive for you to do
okay.
that then. You might want to just keep the simple, but the day you don't have your employee, then you might want to think about a solo 401k. Because solo means solo, just you. Maybe a spouse.
Oh, I see. So yeah. You can't do it. Oh, okay.
Oh, you could have a 401k too for your business, but it's administratively more expensive to have a 401k than it is to have a simple.
Yeah, that was my understanding when I went to it. Okay.
Yeah. But if you your poor employee, if they're listening, don't get rid of them. But if it works out that you part ways amicably, you might want to think about going to a solo 401k, which would be for yourself. And there's lots and lots of benefits to that. So you can contribute a lot more than what even regular people can. So something to think about.
Something to keep in mind. Well, just one general last question. What do you think about conversion from, I have a rollover IRA, so does my wife, converting to a Roth and paying the tax now?
That's a good question, and it's just a matter of what tax bracket are you in today? What tax bracket do you think you'll be in retirement? It takes a little bit of number crunching and forward thinking and long term planning. I personally am a big fan of the Roth IRA and the Roth account inside a 401k. But it's you certainly don't want to do the conversion if you're in a 35% tax bracket today and think you may only be in a 15% tax bracket in retirement. So
and sometimes, Jamie, what you want to pay attention to is the sweet spot that I call after you retire, before you start collecting Social Security and before you start collecting a pension and maybe don't need the money because you have other reserves around. There's a sweet spot sometimes where your tax rate's going to drop, and that's the year I like to look at for conversions.
Yes, I agree.
Okay.
Okay.
That makes a lot of sense.
Don't you love the show, Jamie? Don't you love the show?
Oh, it's terrific. Believe me, you know. I have a rare opportunity when I don't have my kids in the car telling me to switch on some music.
I'll sing. I'll sing from now on. Oh. You just call it and tell them. Tell me. The kids are in the car. Lori, sing. Okay, Jamie, thanks for calling. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Jamie.
Have a great night.
Yep, thank you, and have a good night.
Thanks, you too. It's so much more fun when Rod's here.
It's like a party.
Yeah, it's like a party.
This is great.
This is great. And I like Jamie, too. We could have kept him on the air. So, Rod, before we get to the end of the show, I will give the number one more time, 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810. We're coming up to our last break, Rod, so maybe I'll just keep running this until the end, until we get to that break. We'll take some time in the last quarter of the show to touch real quick on some of the other employer benefits that we see that people should probably be paying attention to, some that aren't as used as much, like stock options, employee stock purchase plans, and then let's hit some fringe benefits if we have time. And healthcare, you know, that's a little tough one to get in the next 15 minutes.
Sure.
But we'll hit on some fringe benefits and the impact to some employees as we wrap up the last quarter of the show. If you do have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. Be one of the best listeners' questions tonight, because the last two guys have been great, and we could have kept them on all night. Back in a sec.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
And you are listening to WDIY, where definitely it's you, your source for local news and public affairs, NPR, and music diversity. The time now is 6:45. Now back to our program.
Thank you, Jeff. Welcome back to the show. I have with me this evening Rod Young, CPA, CFP, financial advisor at Valley National Financial Advisors. We're talking about employer benefits on impact of employer benefits on our income taxes and our financial future. And we've been kind of, you know, focused on retirement mm-hmm. benefits. And I think that's because that's one of the biggest benefits we see through employers. Let me give the phone number one more time, Rod, and then let's do like a little bit of a punch list of some of the other benefits that we see through employers that can impact people that they might need to be paying attention to. Phone number is 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810. Stock options.
Mm-hmm.
We're seeing less of those, but that's something that people need to pay attention to if they are one of the fortunate employees who actually get stock options.
Stock options,
Real briefly, what are stock options?
Stock option gives an employee the right to buy a company's stock at a stated price for a specified period of time, and then it expires if you haven't, quote-unquote, exercised the stock options. So, you know, simple example, you work for a large company and its stock is worth $10 a share. The company may grant certain employees the right to buy that stock for $10 a share anytime during the next 10 years. Well, 8 years from now, maybe that stock is now worth $50 a share and you have the right to buy it for $10 a share. Very, you know, so do the math on that. Very nice form of compensation. And that example, at the time that you do exercise and buy the stock for $10, you're going to have compensation on your W-2 of $40 for each share that you exercised. So that is, again, it's a benefit that typically is restricted to like middle management and above in larger companies. So we still see them. They're not as broad based as these retirement plans that we're talking
I
about.
Think what happened was the way that corporations were reporting the stock options was no longer as tax advantaged as it had been in the past. So we see fewer of them, like in incentive stock options in particular,
sure,
I think.
Sure.
So the important thing with stock options is to know if you have them and to know whether they are in the money, which means is that stock trading at higher than what the exercise price is?
Correct.
Or are they out of the money underwater.
Underwater. Yes, underwater.
So you want to keep paying attention because, as Rod said, if you've got a 10-year period, grant period, you sometimes lose track of these things. And, you know, a lot of times in people's minds, they think, oh, the stock's not doing well. You know, even if it's above at all, it would be worth taking the time to exercise. The other thing that hopefully people who are in middle management, if they are getting those, they know that what happens is you actually don't even have to have the money to buy them because you can do something called a cashless exercise. So just be aware of this scenario when you have stock options. We also have something I think people get confused with, employer stock ownership plans. That's an ESOP plan.
Yep.
Real quick on that, Rod, and that's very different than stock options, but sometimes people don't realize.
Yeah, and we actually see the ESOP, we see very little of anymore. What's more common really is the ESPP, the Employee Stock Purchase Plan. Mm-hmm. And you see that with a lot of larger companies where they will offer, and now this is offered to, you know, all of the employees in the company. It's not just a management level type plan where employees have the ability to buy stock at up to a 15% discount. You're limited to $20,000 per year that you're allowed to put into that type of plan if your employer offers it.
I didn't know that. You're so smart.
And the one thing I would say about these... Thank you, Lori. The one thing I would say about the ESPP, and it's payroll deduction. It's a very simple way to save some money and buy some of your employer stock, and you're getting a 15% discount. And the way the math works on it, you may end up actually getting more than a 15% discount. But what the thing I would caution to anyone who is participating in an ESPP is, before you sell a share of stock that you have acquired in an ESPP, make sure you understand the income tax consequences. It's one of the most confusing set of income tax rules that you will come across. There are things called qualifying dispositions, disqualifying dispositions. You would think a disqualifying disposition is worse than a qualifying disposition, but not always. So it is very important to understand the talk to somebody who understands these types of plans and can advise on the tax consequences.
Okay, so employee stock purchase plans, it's a great, could be a great benefit to employees, a 15% discount on the purchase of company stock. Obviously, there has to be a little incentive there for you to invest in the company, and they want you to invest in the company
yep.
for a period of time. And that's where we talk about qualifying or disqualifying dispositions. If sell the stock too soon, it could end up meaning that you don't really get the discount. So that's a good caution from Rod. And ask your employer if it's available where you are, and if you don't know about it, if it's available and you want to participate. So it should be probably in your employee benefit book that you should get when you start working for a company. Healthcare, let's skip healthcare. I thought maybe we would talk about healthcare. These days, a lot of the healthcare benefits, if they're paid by the employer, there's no tax consequence to the employee. If the employee has to help purchase the health care, it's usually on a pre-tax basis.
Yes.
The only thing I'm really going to say about that is that's, you know, good for you, pre-tax. You're not paying income tax on the money you're having to use to buy that health care. You just have to remember that you also then do not get a deduction for it on your tax return when you're adding up your medical expenses. So other kinds of fringe benefits with the few minutes we have, Rod?
Sure. And real quick, what the only other thing I would say on the healthcare is, on your W-2s for 2012, there's a new item that has appeared, and that is the amount that your employer has paid on your behalf towards your health insurance. And a lot of people are under the misconception that that means that they're paying tax on that, and they're not. It's just a memo item, informational item on the W-2, but there's a lot of misinformation out there about that.
And that's code DD.
Code DD, a new code, yes.
So now that you've brought up W-2, let's talk about another code on the W-2 that is also a benefit from our employers that people should be pay attention to, which is code C.
Code C. So that is imputed income for the cost of employer-provided mm-hmm. group term life insurance in excess of $50,000.
Mm-hmm.
And it's taxable, so it'll show up as a code C, and then it's also included in taxable wages for federal tax. It is not taxable for Pennsylvania tax.
So it's important for folks to know that they have group term life insurance through their employer. And if you're one of the lucky ones who have a code C, it means that you have group term life insurance greater than $50,000. That is where we usually see that when group insurance is tied to your wages. Sometimes you'll say your life insurance is one time your wages, two times your wages. Right. And another employer benefit to be aware of is if your employer may provide like accidental insurance on top of that, and sometimes that would be like five times your salary. Those are the kinds of issues when we're talking about employer benefits that you need to be aware of when we're talking about the impact on your financial future, not just the impact on your income tax, but your financial future. If you're employed and you're doing planning and you're trying to do good estate planning, you need to be aware of what kind of group term life insurance is available to you.
Absolutely.
Because what else can happen with group term life insurance when we leave our employer, Rod?
It can either go by the wayside if you choose to not continue it, or they very well will offer you the opportunity to continue that coverage on an individual basis at your cost once you leave the employer. And depending on your overall circumstances, your overall health, it may make sense for you to continue that coverage, or at least for you to continue that coverage for a period of time until you have had the opportunity to get replacement coverage through the next employer or through an individual policy that you buy on your own.
Okay, and you may have an employer who will continue the life insurance for you even after retirement. That could be an old-fashioned benefit, but you need to know if that's a benefit that's going to apply to you, again, for your own personal planning. And you could probably find more information about that in your employee handbook when you meet with the HR people when you're considering leaving, or you are leaving, or when you're getting hired. Read those employee benefit booklets. There's lots of good information. We also see employer fringe benefits around dependent care assistance sometimes, education assistance, and quite often these kinds of fringe benefits, if they're structured right with your employer, may not be taxable to you. So you want to make sure that if your employer is providing a program that they have structured in such a way, for example, if they are offering it to all employees, then sometimes the IRS will look at that benefit and say, you know what, you're being fair, you're offering it to all the employees, and they may get some tax-favored treatment on those kinds of benefits that they're giving employees. Sometimes if it's earmarked toward one group of employees, like management or whatever, they may not get that tax-favored treatment, and we may see some fringe benefits being included on a W-2.
Sure.
for people.
Absolutely. Another common thing we see in the fringe benefit area is when you have employer-provided long-term disability coverage.
Okay.
Or the ability to contribute and purchase some long-term disability through the employer, and they offer you the choice of paying your share of the premium with pre-tax dollars or post-tax, after-tax dollars. And most people just think, okay, well, it's good to save the taxes, so I'm going to do pre-tax. And we are advised to anyone doing that is it's such a small tax savings because those premiums are typically so small, pay it with after, make that election to be after tax, because that means if you do become disabled and you need those benefits get paid to you, that benefit then is not taxable to you if you've paid for it with after tax dollars.
That's a huge point, and I want to say it one more time because I think that's very, very important. Again, if an employer provides a long-term disability or short-term disability where you are contributing to that plan, typically it's like a group plan, which brings down the cost of it, but if you're given the option to participate in the payment of that on a pre-tax basis or on an after-tax basis, the point Rod's making, not that you didn't make it, you did. I just want to reiterate it because I think it's very important. Pre-tax dollars, the benefit, if you get disability benefit, would end up being income taxable because you got a tax benefit from the premiums. If you do it with after-tax dollars, and again, these premiums are very small.
Yes.
If you do it with after-tax dollars, the benefit, if you were to get a disability benefit would be not taxable. Very important
Huge.
Distinction.
Yes.
Rod, we're almost at the end of the show. How do people reach you if they'd like to talk more with you?
They can reach me via email at ryoung@valleynationalgroup.com. They can reach me through your financial choices, and so plenty of ways to get a hold of me.
And your phone number?
610-868-9000.
Thank you so much. It was tons of fun.
Yeah, this is great. Thanks, Lori. Yeah. Thanks, everyone.
And Rod will be hosting, I think, the show at the end of March.
Three weeks.
Giving me a break, and then he will also be on again, I believe, sometime toward the end of May
Looking
as well.
Looking forward to it.
So listen for Rod as well. I want to thank the listeners tonight. They were fantastic. A lot of fun. Jeff, I want to thank you. Andrea, thanks. Rod, obviously, thank you. And I want to mention next week, I'm going to talk about multi-state tax returns, part-year tax returns, and local returns, as well as taking your questions. I decided I'm just going to tackle all those bears next week. And again, tax questions as well next week. Coming up next, Tom Druckenmiller with In the Tradition Folk Music. Remember, pay attention, be proactive, not reactive, and make the best of your financial choices. Have a great week.